and sing praise, hallelujah, for I know the Lord is good.
I want to talk to you about a subject that I have to give credit to the title. To Brother Tim Cameron. Where you at, man? Cameron here today in the back. Sitting in the back there. Good to see you, brother. One of our bus captains. He got up in bus meeting and said he went to a bus conference one time. He was struggling in his life about being faithful. And I can help you this morning. If you struggled about being faithful, I'm talking about faithful in a lot of areas. Faithful to come to church, sure. Faithful to tithe, yeah, faithful to witness, faithful to read your Bible, faithful to be the kind of mother you should be, faithful to kind of be the kind of dad you ought to be, faithful to be the kind of employee you ought to be or employer you ought to be, faithful to be the kind of citizen you ought to be. I can help you today. I can help you. The Bible, Word of God, is going to help you if you listen. I got the title when Brother Tim, he said he went to a bus conference one time. He was struggling, and this guy said, "I'm all the way in." The guy said, "I'm all the way in." And Tim, in telling us this and bus me, he said, "You know what? I decided that day to be all the way in." And I tell you, life-changing decision for myself at 18 years old when I said, because I hadn't been all the way in. I'd been a Christian since a young age. I was saved at 5 years old. I mean it. I was saved. I know God came to me. I knew what was going on. 12 years old, I made rededication, but then backslid into living for myself. At 18 years old, I finally decided to be all the way in for God. And that was some of the best decision-making I've ever had in my life. You know, now I look back with very few regrets. All those years from here to there, very, very few regrets, but a whole lot of thankfulness. A whole lot of thankfulness that God has had mercy in my life and helped me as I decided to be all the way in. Take your Bibles. I'm going to do a little Bible study with you. If you can't turn with me, if it's too quick, just listen. You can get this on, you can download this on iTunes. You can download this on our podcast. You can download this on our website. You can look at it in visual. I don't know why you wouldn't want to, but you can see the DVD of this also on our website, gospelbaptistchurch.com. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. As I read through the Gospels and read through Jesus' words, the master of all, the creator of all, everything, language included, Jesus never went back and reworded himself because he didn't word it right the first time. He worded it right the first time. Everything he said was exactly what he wanted to say, how he wanted to say it. That's why they said, "This man don't speak like other people." You'll hear me stutter, stammer, reword it, make a mistake, say stuff that's not true, miss stuff. I have a memory lapse like Brother Moon had the other day. I'll do memory lapses. You're just taking my lead on that. Every kind of thing, brother. You wonder sometimes how God can use such a vessel as imperfect as I am. And everybody said? Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "And Jesus said unto them, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." That's our proof text. There are a lot of imperfections that God will put up with in his service. And as we talk about this, let's have just a moment of prayer. Father, help us a few moments. Give us wisdom. May this soak in past the short-term memory, going into the long-term memory. May some of these folks in this room 40 years from now, if you give them that much life, and if you tarry, may they remember this day. And may this concept of truth, change their direction completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Moon, 1 degree below ambient. Brother Charlie, 1 degree below ambient. God will put up with all kinds of imperfections in us, and you all know that, right? You all know that. None of us would be here if God didn't put up with our imperfections. In Luke chapter 9, verse 49, it said, "And John said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him." He wasn't Baptist. He wasn't Baptist. He couldn't be right, and we told him not to do it. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for he is not against us, is for us. You don't have to have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed for God to use you. That is for sure. It is a whole lot better somebody preaching Jesus imperfectly than it is for them to be preaching Muhammad. It's a whole lot better for them to be saying Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, with a horrible vocabulary. I heard an old Kentucky preacher preach one time, and there's probably not too many of his people in this room heard him. Maybe. His last name was McKinney, not the guy that used to pastor. And he slaughtered the King's English. You'd almost have to study to slaughter it that much. I mean, done, did, ain't. I mean, he made stuff up. I didn't even know where it, but I'm going to tell you, I never forgot the guy's message. God came. For all your English majors. God came. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18, Paul basically summarizes it this way. It says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. That's not good. And some of goodwill. Well, that is good. That one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely. That's not good. Supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other preach Christ of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, that ain't good, or in truth, that is good. Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, this Pharisee of the Pharisee who dotted his I's and crossed his T's probably had the Old Testament memorized. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. You're not going to take it from me. But there's one area that I'm going to speak about this morning that God has very little tolerance. And that is in the area of discipleship. In Luke chapter 14, if you want to turn there, just a few places to turn, then I'll take off into the sunset. Luke 14, 26 to 27. Jesus' words, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, get this, ladies, and wife, it's in the Bible. And get this, children and brethren, that's not so hard to do right there, brothers and sisters, yea, and it just pinnacles with this. Hate his own life. He cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross, that means it's personal. Each of us have a personal cross to bear. My cross is not your cross. You bear your cross, come after me. If you're not willing to do that, you cannot basically be my disciple. What's a disciple? That's a learner. A pupil. If I may say it this way, you don't get into Jesus' school without being all in. This is what I want to say. You don't get into his school. You cannot be his disciple. You cannot be a learner if you're not all the way in. You're saved? Yes. You've trusted Christ? Yes. You've had your sins forgiven? Yes. You've been justified and sanctified and God's working in you? Yes. But you're not going to be a successful disciple of Jesus Christ unless you are in. Why? Because you cannot absorb the truths that the Bible has to teach you without being all the way in. Because if you're not all the way in, that means some of you is out. And that part that's out gets hard. The Bible calls it hard-hearted. Stiff-necked. That means you will not be able to receive because you're not going to be tender enough to receive it. And you're going to miss some of what God has for you. If Jesus was anything, he was all in. Man. He was all in. This is why I love being around new believers. There may be a lack of knowledge in a new believer, and that's tolerable. They make all kinds of mistakes in judgment, but that's tolerable. They even stumble, but that's tolerant. But one thing a new believer usually is, he's all or she is all the way in. They're excited. It's like being around a new married couple. Everybody should hang around a new married couple. You know the trouble with some of you folks? You haven't been around a new married couple in a while. You see the way they look at each other? You see that? You ever look at a new married couple, the way they stare at each other? When's the last time you stared at your wife, man? This morning, but it wasn't good. I tell you what, I can put up with a lot of things with my wife. You say, I have my wife this morning, she's wearing a medal. She's wearing a gold medal this morning with red, white, and blue on it. And that's for marrying me. That's called a participation award. And just like our marriage, it looked like gold, but it was plastic. There was a lot of unexpected things came about her way, for sure. And she deserves a medal, praise the Lord. I can put up a lot. I can put, and you folks have no sympathy for me at all. But I can put up a lot with my wife. I'll put up with so-so meals. I'll put up with a messy house. I'll stumble over her shoes. And all the men said, I can live with her hair being everywhere. I mean, on the bathroom floor, on my clothes, in my food, on the furniture, you name it. But one thing I have to have. I can put up with all those things easily. And I do. And so do you. That's not a problem. But one thing I must have, and I must have her total commitment. I must know my wife is all the way in. And we're getting ready to have our 48th anniversary. I think it's fairly plain that she's all the way in because she's too old to change now. No holds barred, no reservations, no hesitations. One thing I knew when that little 18-year-old girl gave herself to me, I read in her as much as a human can know one of another that she was all the way in with Bill Lytle. Come what may, come what rough ride, come what crazinesses, I have done lots of that. But she was all the way in. Now, she put up with all kinds of imperfections in me. All kinds of folks, if you had an idea. But she's all the way in. And we've made it to 48 years, almost. Almost. Being all the way in with Jesus will cause you four things. Let me briefly go over what those four things are. Four things will happen to you. At least four things will happen to you if you're all the way in for Jesus. Number one, it will cause division in your family and friends. Have you ever heard when you got saved, some of you got saved later in life, have you ever heard your relatives come to you and say, now don't get too religious now. Look. Now let's not go too far with this Jesus thing now. Now look, going to church an hour a week, that's all right, but man, not 2 hours. Man, whatever happens, don't go to church Wednesday night. What's funny is they'll go to the bar 6-7 nights a week. They'll go play poker. They'll go do this 4-5 nights a week, but you want to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they think, oh, doggy, who would want to have that much religion? That's just too much. Don't be too religious. Don't be too radical. Why? You could get an overdose of Jesus. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, 30, 39 says, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth. I'm come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and against his daughter and against his mother, against his daughter-in-law and against his mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father. Now this explains, by the way, what I read before in Luke. Matthew here explains it. about hating your mother, hating your father. Jesus explains it here. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth not after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be so pure, so real, so dedicated, so deep, that in contrast to the love we have for our wife, it looks like hate. You get it? You get it? That's what he's saying. I know women that love their kids more than they love Jesus. I know women that love their kids more than they love their husband. That is horrible. Because the husband was before the kids. And guess what the kids are going to do? They're going to fly away. You want your kids living in the basement at 40? Eating your food? Or are you raising your kid so they'll be independent, self-sufficient, into a place where they can actually help other people? That's what I want for a boy. That's what I wanted for my boy. That he'd get a, not that I didn't love him, not that it wouldn't be nice to have him wax my truck and mow my lawn and paint my house and maintain my out, but he didn't want to do that. Some black-haired beauty came by, boom, he was gone. I didn't get a grudge on him for that. I raised him for that. I said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. He gave it a shot. Listen to Luke chapter 6, Jesus' words again. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. Most of us don't like this. And shall reproach you. Most of us don't like this. And cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. What Jesus is telling you, if you don't get all the way in, the heat's going to be too great for you. And you're going to get out. Amen. When my wife at 18 decided to get all the way in with Bill Lytle, who she did not know well. If she had not decided to get all the way in, she would have got out. When I got stupid and crazy and all those things combined. She would have said, it's not worth it. But because it was a life and death decision, a do or die, you're going to have to shoot me to stop me. She could endure the hardness that came with being married to me. And I'm really too hard on myself. If she got up here, she'd say, it's been wonderful to be married to you, right? Come on up, give her a testimony. No, stay there. That's because she's blind. Why is she blind? She's all the way in. All the way in makes you blind to the faults. It makes you blind to the pain. It makes you blind to the sacrifice. There's no sacrifice. She'd tell you, I haven't sacrificed. She'd tell you, it's been a wonderful ride. I know better. Jesus is telling us, you got to get all the way in for your own safety, for your own ability to succeed in the end. Because the people, when you come to Jesus and ask him to be your Savior, you just said to the world immediately senses your change. You say, you're making that up. Oh, yeah? John chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus' words. The world cannot hate you, but it hated me. But me it hateth because I testify of it that the works of thereof are evil. But then in John 15, he says this, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He said, the servant's not greater than his master. He said, if they hated me and crucified me and believed my, they didn't believe his words. He said, they're going to believe your words just about the same as they believe my words. They're going to treat me the way they treat you. And folks, if you expect to go into the world and then put their arm around you and say it's a wonderful thing, something's wrong. you're not all the way in. But if you get all the way in, they sense your spirit. It's not so much even what you do or what you say. They just sense the spirit difference. The spirit of this world is not the same as the spirit of God. The spirit differences is what they just, you walk in their midst and they just kind of bow up a little bit. Like, ooh. And they call you names. They cast your name out as evil. They say you self-righteous, condemning, da-da-da. And they start using like stuff like a prefix with phobia after it. Have you ever heard what the liberals are doing today? Xenophobic, homophobic, isophobic, thesophobic, disophobic, thesophobic. That's because they got no argument. You know what people do when they have no argument? They just start calling names. Name calling. Marvel not, John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Marvel not if the world hates you. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's listed with people who gave themselves, they were all in. And they got among the world, and the world hated them, and the world took some of them and burnt some of them to death. And some of them it gutted, and some of them they killed all their children in front of them, and some of them they killed their, I mean, they just did every abominable act you could possibly do to somebody. Why? Because these people were horrible? No. Because they were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is alien to this world. The world picks that spirit up. So I can guarantee you, if you are all the way in, your family is going to be, much of your family, some of your family is going to be divided against you. Not because of anything, but you're just part of, you're all the way in for Jesus. I can tell you for sure that the world's going to be against you, going to take up a cause against you. And thirdly, if you're all the way in, it will cause you to pursue Jesus as your life's goal rather than money. Rather than money. Look at Luke 16, verses 13 there. It says, no man can serve two masters. These are familiar to you, most of you. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. And this is the phrase I'm going to. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, money. Now, we have numbers of rich people in this auditorium that have accumulated large sums of money. They've been successful in business. But I can tell you from knowing some of them, that has not been their goal. Their goal has been to be successful for Jesus. And the money was just secondary. It just happened. Are you with me? Is there a difference between that guy and the guy who all his goal, his life, and his planning is to be rich? There's a world of difference between those two people. Both of them may be equally rich, but there's a world of difference between the two people. One of them, his God has been money and possessions. The other one, his God has been the Lord Jesus Christ. And because God just blessed the work of his hands in such a way, he finally gave him, you know, they piled up some stuff. But Jesus said, whatever happens, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness above everything else. And let the old wealth thing fall out however it wants to fall out. Amen. Let it fall out. Work, yes. Amen. But I can guarantee you, people are all the way in pursue Jesus as their life's goal. It has to be so. And it is. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in sight of God. We're to be hard workers. But our motivation is to survive, not to possess. Man, this is good. There's nobody in this auditorium that gets to keep your stuff. I'm sorry, but you already know that. How many people you got to bury to know that? Now, some of you young people may have never buried anybody yet. First person I had to bury was my grandfather. I didn't bury him. I mean, I was there about 8, 9, 10 years old. And I touched him, and I noticed he was hard. Like, it was, first of all, he was cold. And like some of you girls are right now. Some of you girls, if it'd be 100 in here, you'd be chilly. I touched him, he felt like that wood right there. I touched him, he felt cold. That wasn't my grandpa. It was a shell my grandpa used to inhabit, but he was gone. I could tell something was gone. I'm 10 or 11 years old. I could tell there was just something missing. The casket was there. His body was there, but it was missing. Grandpa was gone. Grandpa was gone. You know, Grandpa was a genius of a tool and die guy. In his, he had a workroom that encompassed the whole downstairs of his house. He had every kind of machine to turn things with and to make things and to drill things and to cut things. Tens of thousands of dollars worth of machinery in the bottom of his house, which was a whole bottom there, was dedicated to his work. And you know, he had to leave every bit of that. And guess who he left it to? People who had no skill. So what'd they do? They sold it for peanuts. They gave it away almost. And because there's people out there shopping for folks like that. And they go and say, is it worth $5,000? I'll give you $5. And that's an effort to take it out of here. You're not going to keep any of this stuff. You know what? But the difference is those who are all the way in, they're motivated, but it's not to possess, it's just to survive. Our goal is to help others, not to heap upon ourselves. We use what we are given and what God gives us and blesses in the work of our hands to help those around us, to encourage people. Right now, you don't help people by just giving them money. You don't help them. Haven't we learned that in the United States? No, we have not. We have literally destroyed a whole race of people by giving them stuff. They have no self-image. They have no self-worth. They have no, they just give me, they're entitled. When it should have been like the Bible, no work, no eat. And had they worked for it, they'd have felt like they had earned it, which they did, and would have not only given somebody something to somebody else, but the whole thing would be better. Boy, don't take no genius for that. But I can guarantee you that if you're all the way in, your family will be divided. The world will hate you, and you will pursue Jesus. Whatever you do, whether it pursue him as a plumber, pursue him as an electrician, pursue him as a businessman, pursue him as an oil guy, pursue him as a cement guy, it'll be Jesus you're pursuing. And then he'll bless the work of your hands how he sees fit. Fourthly and lastly, if you're all the way in, it'll cause you to want to lay your life down for Jesus. You're going to want to lay your life down. It won't be enough to lay your things down for Jesus. Your things in your life are different. They're related, but they're different. You're going to want to lay yourself down. What is yourself? It's your service. Do you know I only got so much time? Duh. I only got so much time. And when I give you my time, I give you really all I have to give. Is that not true? When I give you my time, I give you everything. That's really the most valuable thing I have. I could give you gold or silver or things like that, but if I give you myself, it's more. And Jesus doesn't just want your things, he wants you. If you say, Jesus, I'm all the way in, he says, good, I want you. I want you. And he'll want you to serve, man. He'll put service in evangelistic ministry, service in support of missionaries, service in establish a strong, healthy local church, service, service, service. You'll be wanting to volunteer as much as you can feasibly volunteer to help. Help, help, help. That's the symptoms of somebody that's all the way in. Jesus had it. Matthew chapter 27, verse 42, I preach a whole sermon on it. He saved others himself he could not save. He saved others himself, and I use the word he cannot save. That's what the Bible says. He was for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that when I live for others, I might live like thee. Let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetting way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer might be for others. It's not all about me. When you're all the way in, it becomes all about others. And I can tell you this, that when you help others, it helps you. It helps you. Jesus takes care of his own. That old carrot the devil wants to throw in front of you, you're never going to reach it. If you ever reach it, you have to leave it. Amen. I think of them poor. I watched a few minutes of a documentary on the Beatles, and how they began. I never knew a lot of that, how they began and what happened there. I felt sorry for him. As the documentary played its way out, I began to feel sorry for him and began to think, my goodness, they've been given all the fame a person could ever want. They've been given all the money a person could ever want. They've been given, and then they have to leave it. John was shot and killed at 42. And they're dying off. George got cancer and died. And they went the way of all the earth. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. Are you all the way in? Are you? It will solve a lot of your problems if you're all the way in. When you go all the way in, as Brother Tim said that morning, you'll get peace, you'll get purpose, and you'll get the power of God on your life. Others will be attracted to Jesus because of that, because you will mirror that spirit that Jesus had. There'll be no duplicity in your life, no half-heartedness, no mixed emotions, but a real, honest enthusiasm for God, His people, and the work of God. Why? Because you're all the way in. Decide to be all the way. If you haven't already decided, decide this morning by the grace of God, I'm going to go all the way. You want to know why your family's tore up? I had a member of our church years ago was struggling. He said on Sunday afternoon they used to have a kind of a little war go on with his kids because they would be debating about whether to come on Sunday night at church. And, you know, one of them would say, well, I got a big test tomorrow and I got to study so I can't go. And another one would say, well, I got something I have to read and I don't have time to read it, so I can't go. And so they would come some Sunday nights, miss some Sunday nights, come some Sunday nights, miss some Sunday nights. And it was just, it seemed like there was just an unsettledness and a war going on. And he came to me and shared this with me. He said, Brother Bill, we got this thing on Sunday because my daughters say this or say that. And we, you know, I got to tell them, sometimes I got to muscle them and say, I don't care about your homework. I don't care about you going to church. He said, but then they have a bad attitude towards me. You can imagine that. Girls having a bad attitude towards their dad. Imagine that. And he said, that just ain't right. We go to church with this. And we listen to Lytle. He punishes us. And I came to him and said, what do you think I ought to do? And I said, I tell you what, I got real simple advice. Get all the way in. Tell your kids, unless I die or you shoot me, I'm going to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special services every night. There's not going to be homework. There's not going to be anybody coming over. If anybody visits you, they go to church or they stay at the house. Really, what will happen? They won't visit you. It may not be all that bad. But, I mean, you're going to tell your relatives. You're going to tell your family. You're going to tell everybody around you. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because the church meets and the Word of God's preached and we sing together and we're part of the local body of believers, that's going to be where you're going to find me and that's going to be where we're at. And he said, all of a sudden we had peace. Sunday afternoon would come, nobody would be debating, are we going to go tonight? We're not going to go tonight. We're going to go tonight? We're not going to go tonight. No, we're going to go tonight. What a beautiful thing. What is that? That's an example of getting all the way in. That's what that is. That's an example of just saying we're not gonna straddle this fence. My mother used to say, you straddle a fence, you get shot by both sides. Because I was straddling the fence 16, 17, year 18, you know, almost 18 when I finally made a decision. I was half in the world, half into things of God, wanted to go to heaven, but wanted to live like the world, wanted what the world had, but wanted what God had. Jeez, you can't have both. You will not have both. It cannot happen. You'll lose both, however. And if you just say, I'm all the way in for God, and I'm just going to take it how it falls its way out, God will be with you. He'll be pleased with you, and God will help you. I'm not just talking about one area. I'm just talking about the whole area, all the areas of your life, financially, emotionally, spiritually. There'll be peace like a river attending your way. And you know what will end up? You'll bless other people. People will get saved because of you. People will come and join the local church and the body of believers because of you. People will be in heaven because of you. When this whole life's over, what's going to matter? What you do for Jesus. Get all the way in. Father, help us with that decision this morning to get all the way in. Brother Tim told us how it changed his life, how it changed his perspective. Most of us sitting in that bus meeting, we had already decided a long time ago to get all the way in. That's why we were there at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. But you couldn't hardly wipe the smile off our faces because it's a beautiful thing to be all the way in. It's a beautiful thing to serve the Lord God of heaven. He takes care of His own. Father, help us convince as You only can this morning. May some people in this room make that decision today. Maybe here, maybe going home, maybe at home, but they make the decision. I'm going to be all the way in for Jesus. I'm sick of this playing a little bit here, a little bit there, some in the world, some not. I'm going all the way for Jesus. You'll not be disappointed. And He will not disappoint you. But when this whole world's said and done, you're not going to take any of it with you. Father, help us. Save some people here. They may not have trusted Christ, their personal Savior, yet. They don't know for sure when they die they're going to heaven, but they can know today. May they trust Him. May they come, let us know about it. May we just take the Bible and allow us to take the Bible and show them the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.